You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580, welcome aboard. It's New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design. As we do every Thursday, welcoming Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Well, it's great.
Hold on
it's
there.
Great.
There we
check,
go.
Check, on one, two. It's great to be here. Thank you, Ron. On Thursday, September 14th, 2023. I'm just checking to see if the music was going to keep playing. Yeah.
It's going to go down real nice and soft here.
Well, this is fun today. It's great to be here. Thank you, Ron. And if folks have a question of a financial nature that they would like answered, they can text or call, and that information is, Ron, if you would.
Dennis's private cell phone number is. The number here in the studio, 231-947-0023. Or you can text us at 833-728-1140, 833-728-1140.
Nobody calls anymore. Everybody texts.
Everybody texts.
Texting is so, you know, before calling. Yeah. Calling is almost seen as being rude, right?
No, we just had a fascinating call last hour. I was thankful the guy called in, yeah.
That's awesome. So, yep. Well, good. We'll take it. So if you'd like to call, please do. And joining us this morning, Nathan Prout.
Nathan Prout.
Not Heidi.
Everybody.
Well, hold on there, Nathan. There, there we go. Turn you up a little bit there.
There we go. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Our own financial advisor and also an lead advisor with Ed Slott & Company. You betcha. It's great to have you here with us.
And?
And Deanne Jennings, our own director of operations. Good morning, Deanne.
Good morning, Dennis.
Wait,
good morning.
What's with the microphones? Oh, there we go.
What's going on with that?
At some point, it's not the microphone's fault.
We need a new engineer.
Aww. Happy September morn.
September morn.
I think that's a prelude to what our songs mm-hmm. might be about today, right? September. Now, are the colors starting to turn, rather? Is that happening yet? I'm just curious.
Anyone noticing? A little bit.
A little bit.
It certainly feels like it. The shadows or the colors are changing a bit just from the sun and its angle, if you will, I think, anyway.
We might have had frost this morning through north-central Michigan. If we did, they said that could hurry up the colors into changing. It could accelerate the change.
It's just so stinking gorgeous. Mm-hmm. What Jill and I went to the local farmer's market a couple weeks ago, and it was like, oh, my gosh. They're just crazy, the variety. And they just seem geared. And everyone seemed enthusiastic from soup to nuts. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
September's my favorite month. I love it.
Harvest time.
Yeah.
It is. Transitions. So today we're talking about Michigan's retirement tax rollback. Who would have thought? And apparently there's a little bit of fighting going on. As you said, Ron, with the Michigan...
With the income tax rate,
yes.
Which is what was 4.25.
Now 4.05.
4.05 because they had so much money in Lansing, it triggered an automatic tax cut.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Attorney General ruled that it's only good for 1 year. So the Mackinac Center has now filed suit saying, no, if you read the legislation, it's permanent. It wasn't for 1 year only. So there's a little fighting over that.
All right. Well, that'll be interesting to see. A little bit of intrigue in Lansing. Yeah. We could use some more entertainment, I'm sure. Now, this retirement was put in place for retirees. The tax was put in place in 2012. What's interesting is if that tax is permanent, obviously it's coming down a bit from 4.25 to 4.05. Well, to put that in perspective, it's really not much. It's $200 on $100,000 of income. So it's really not going to change anybody's day or week. Speak for yourself, Dennis. You know, so whatever. I get the other side. But it's not generally considered as that great. But what's interesting is the tax on retirement income itself is going to be changing in quite dramatically.
When does that kick in?
This year.
Ah.
Well, now, first off, it doesn't change for anyone who's about set. Of course, I have to say there's caveats, Ron.
Yes,
caveats.
Are.
Now, so what does that mean? So anyone born between 19 or rather before 1945, so about 78 years old, depending on the date of birth exactly. Right now, you don't have to worry about these tier changes or these phase-ins, but anyone born between 46 and 1967 and after, you certainly do if you're getting a retirement income, unless
it's raining on a Thursday.
Right. Well, almost. Not raining on a Thursday, but unless you are a public employee, such as a fireman, a cop, if you will, a state police person, that sort of thing. For those kinds of public employees, there is no phase-in. The tax has been removed. So all of a sudden for retirees, we're going to see quite a difference in their income tax. The amount that's taxable based on their retirement income could essentially go from 4.25 to zero this year.
Okay.
So an income, let's say their income was $40,000. From their pension, removing about 4% of that is about $1,600 in tax. So real significant dollar amounts changed in terms of tax. And guess what?
What?
We've got more folks then who will or perhaps will decide, I think, whether they may want to change their residency back to Michigan.
Yeah, that's a lot of people retire and they have a home in Florida and they make that their permanent residence because Florida has no income tax.
Yes. We've already been, Heidi's already been having conversations with clients who are saying this very thing. Oh my gosh, this has hit the news and we're thinking of changing our residency back.
Back to Michigan.
Back.
This is when you reference retirement income, so that could be pension, it could be Social Security, could be money from your 401 or IRA.
No. Just pension.
Just
income.
Pension. Okay.
Pension income alone.
Pension income alone.
Will be eliminated for those who are former public employees, retirees, if you will, from those careers or designated careers. They now won't be subject. The big winners for 2023 will be police and firefighters. They get the exemption right away, as from the article itself. Everybody else is more of a phased-in approach for the next couple of years. But suffice it to say that everyone in 2026 under the law, so we'll just say 3 years for most of us, okay, 3 years, will not be subject at all. So retirement income, defined benefit pension plan income, if you will not be subject to any tax in 2026.
Wasn't there a component where a lot of people made the point, well, that's not fair because I've saved all my life, my 401k, my IRA, and now the pension people don't have to pay tax, but I do,
yeah,
unless I have a Roth, of course.
Right.
Didn't they make an allowance, and are they going to give those folks a break, do you know?
Well, they did make an allowance in trying to cut the tax from 4.25 to 4.05, but that's the extent of it.
Oh, boy.
So because that is included in total income. For the 2026 tax year and after, all retirees, no matter when they were born, will be able to deduct their retirement or pension benefits up to 100% of a set amount. Now, there's a caveat to what I said previously as well, given that favorite word here. I don't know why that came up. Who used that anyway? So irritating. Now, the maximum set amount changes each year. For this year, the set amount that you can, the limit for retirement income, we'll just say it that way, that isn't taxed at the state is $61,518 for single returns and $123,036 for joint returns. So it's a relatively good amount for both single filers and joint filers that then would preclude them from having to pay any tax on their retirement income. And isn't that exciting? Yes, and indeed.
A quick question.
Yes.
I was going to ask this, too, from a texter. Does the tax cut on pensions, you mentioned public employees, firefighters, police, does that include school teachers, public school teachers?
What I have is exempt from the Michigan state income tax pension income for public office, public police officers and firefighters, county correction officers and state troopers and sergeants is what I've got.
Okay.
I don't know about teachers. I don't think that would be the case, but yet I don't know.
But eventually they will, but this is
eventually,
you're talking about it. This is,
eventually in 2026 for sure. Now the other part of this, which I actually hesitate to even mention, it's based on your income and also your year of birth. Year of birth. Mm-hmm. So for those born between 1946 and 1967 and after, you're going to be phased in over these next years. So you'll have to make the decision. In fact, I talked to John Sluice about this. I said, obviously, then your software is going to help you figure out which phase or tier is going to be best for your client and also given their income, which one to take, because everyone can still pay the 2022 rate if they want to. That's the other part of this. Or they can begin using this tiered-in schedule if they so choose. And he said, oh, yeah, we'll have that available to us. So for everyone out there, simply know that these taxes are going to be coming down. We'll see whether this 4.05% rate is going to remain, if you will. The current Treasury, the Michigan Treasury website says it is not permanent. We'll see whether they change their minds based on this lawsuit, as you said, that's been filed, and the law itself, whether they'll have to comply with that. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
So it's rather complex, but suffice it to say that anyone with a defined benefit pension plan in the state of Michigan is going to pay a almost certainly lesser tax in coming years. Now, again, anyone born before in 1945 or earlier, there is no change for you. You didn't have to pay the tax, and that's what was so convoluted about this thing in the first place. We're having a tiered schedule based on your date of birth and whether or not you have to pay tax on your retirement benefits, as it is from a defined benefit pension plan.
So not only is it complex, it's very specific as well. So it's not just something you want to ask perhaps your friend what they're doing either, because it's so individualized.
That's a great point. So necessarily, you know, you're going to have conversations with friends about the tax, but don't take that as gospel because it's going to depend on their year of birth and also their income.
And if they were, you know, a public servant or... You know.
Right. If they were a sergeant or a police officer or a firefighter. So they get an immediate cut, and that's going to be really great for them.
Someone at text, can you please repeat the earnings? What was I think you mentioned, what, 61,000 or 120? Is that what they're referencing, do you think?
Yes, the earnings allowed. Before you have to opt in or out, or that you're allowed to have under the new ruling, are currently at, for the 2023 tax year, the limit for retirement income that isn't taxed at the state is $61,518 for single returns and $123,036 for joint returns. Those who are born in 45 and earlier, someone who's 78 or older, there is no change.
So if you're, a firefighter and you're married, you're a couple, and you made less than 120, whatever that was.
Well, that's for Tier 1 taxpayers. Okay. This is for anyone born in 1945 and earlier, known as Tier 1. Oh. They still get the best benefits. But for anyone in the future who has this kind of income, and I'm talking 2026 and after, we'll find out whether or not you're phased in and you wind up having to pay some state income tax on your retirement benefits because your income is above those levels. Oh, now, these income levels are adjusted for inflation going forward as well. So that's one of many pieces. Those born from 46 to 52 can choose between the maximum deduction of $20,000 for single returns and $40,000 for joint returns under the previous rules, or up to 25. I'm just going to dive into this so you can hear how complex this is. So anyone born after 1945 and born up to 1952 can choose between the maximum deduction of $20,000 for single returns and $40,000 for joint returns under the previous rules, or, in a big circle around the word or there, up to 25% of the maximum amount of the allowable deduction for those born before 1946. So that's the 25% of the $123,000 if you're filing jointly. Yes, exactly. For the 2023 tax year, that would equal a deduction of $15,379 for a single return and $30,759 for a joint return. So there are some ifs, ands, and buts about this, but it's interesting nonetheless to see that, in essence, the state of Michigan, from the 20,000-foot view, is competing now with other states for retirees. In essence, they're cutting the price of admission. Yeah. Now, isn't that interesting? And we're already seeing people express interest about this. So what does this say about income tax? It's a competitive world out there. And also, people pay attention to this. And they will move with their feet, as we know from the state of New York.
Yeah.
Okay?
And as far as the broad income tax rate, this is not for retirees, but everybody, there are states that are trying to whittle theirs down or eliminate them, realizing this. But Michigan does not have that wisdom as far as the broad-based rate. They want to keep the rate at the highest.
Yeah, they're fighting, in essence, to keep the tax rate at 4.25%,
it would appear.
From all observations. Correct, Ron. I think we've covered ourselves okay there, have we not?
This is just another prime example of the changes are worth it, and to seek out a financial professional and ask those questions.
Yes.
The changes are going to make a difference, and if it, you know, obviously we're all trying to make those decisions. What's in my best interest financially? And this change may wind up being a mover, if you will, for people to be able to say, well, I prefer to live in Michigan anyway. This is certainly going to make it easier over the next the coming years to not have to decide what state's going to be my primary residence state. Mm-hmm. And thus, what's going to make that difference, too, if it's a primary residence state? The revenue for the state of Michigan is going to go up anyway. In the end, generally, when tax rates go down, revenues go up.
Yep.
Who would have thought? Well, because it is a competitive world, and people will make more than taxing decisions. They will generally pay more tax when the price is lower, or allow more income to be declared when the price is lower
and
for that income.
Buy more stuff, too. So that's taxed.
It, yes.
Yeah. More people buying more stuff.
Could be. We hope, right?
Yes.
So bottom line, taxes are coming down for retirees in the state of Michigan, and you're going to want to take a look at which is best for you especially through 2026, if you're in these phase-in areas. And some great articles out there. This particular article was from the Detroit News, and also changes to Michigan tax on retirement and pension benefits comes from MERS of Michigan, which we alluded to in those five tiers of taxes. And we have a question, do we?
This last one has a nice chart on it with colors, and it's easier to understand.
Yes, lots of fun colors. So you can see, you know, here's when I was born. Here's what the phase-out range is.
It's helpful. Right.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Deanne.
Bill's on the line for Prout Financial Design, New Retirement Radio. Good morning, Bill.
Morning, all.
Good morning.
For Dennis, this new tax plan, if you will, for firefighter and police pensions, that's only if you were a MERS participant, somebody in Michigan, the state of Michigan. It's not for a firefighter from Nevada moving here. Correct.
A great point, and I think you're correct. They didn't state that specifically in the article, and I say I'm not willing to state that, but I think you're correct. That would only make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to find a bottom line answer. I've talked to a couple CPAs, and everybody's kind of dancing around it at this point, so I guess it's going to take a little time to figure that one out.
Well, and I'm glad that I'm dancing with the CPAs in this case.
Okay, thank you very much.
I appreciate the call.
Thanks, Bill. That MERS is Michigan
Employee Retirement System.
Yeah.
System, yes, and a very good system it is indeed. They do so far, so good, generally overall, an excellent job of managing their assets and managing the liabilities of retirees from the state of Michigan. So next question do we have, Nathan? What's going on?
Someone said, what's the best way to transfer our IRAs to gold or silver? If we have an account with you, is that something you could do? Transfer my IRAs to gold or silver?
Well, you could do that. You can also own gold or silver through what's called an exchange-traded fund right within your IRA without actually having to own the gold and silver, which is what they're talking about. You get the same price change. I would suggest we simply talk offline about that idea because like anything else, it is a diversification tool. It's not an end-all or buy-end-all or buy-end-all to means, if you will. It's a diversification strategy based on the increasing debt of our country and also the proposed or supposed, if you will, weakness anticipated in the dollar over time. The loss of purchasing power is what gold and or silver is meant to protect. It is a form of transfer for goods and services. It always has been. You can take that back a few thousand years. And most likely, and I can say most likely, always will be. There are no guarantees in the future except death and taxes, which we all know. Thank you very much. So given that disclosure, you know, and these ads, and the gentleman called her last week complaining about all the ads, I thought about after the show. Yes, and when silver hits $100 an ounce, you will not hear any more ads for silver because they won't have it to sell to you. That'll be interesting, won't it? Now, that's a prediction from Dennis alone.
Yes.
I don't know, but that's what I would say generally. Right. You won't hear any more ads when it hits $100. Right now, it's about 20, give or take.
Are there other precious metals besides, well, is there gold and silver? Are there other precious metals that are purchased for similar reasons?
Generally, but not as well known. Platinum, palladium are both known as, in essence, precious metals, but they don't. They don't have the same history, number one, of being a means of transfer or exchange for goods and services again. Gold, a 1 ounce, has always been pegged, if you will, as being worth about the price of a man's suit, a good suit.
Mm.
An ounce is gold, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's cover now from the newsletter, Ed Slott newsletter. This is Life Insurance Month. And Nathan's got some info on that for us.
Yeah, so on a lighter note,
let's talk
about life insurance. So September is Life Insurance Awareness Month, a reminder of how valuable this coverage can be. Research indicates that such knowledge is on the rise, especially among younger Americans. The 2023 Insurance Barometer Study by LIMRA and Life Happens reports that life insurance ownership among Generation Z, which is those age 18 to 26, has increased from 34% in 2022 to 40% in 2023, while 48% of millennials age 27 to 42 now own policies, which is up from 45% a year earlier.
That's interesting. Some pretty good increases, if you will, and I wonder if it's from COVID and all the rest. Sometimes the realities of life.
Yeah, and they do say that. It is likely that the COVID-19 pandemic has raised fears that a breadwinner could die, leaving a lack of ongoing income. However, the aforementioned study indicates a growing appreciation of other advantages that life insurance might offer in addition to the death benefit.
For those who are long-term savers as well.
Exactly. Now, keep in mind, of course, your primary reason to purchase life insurance should be the death benefit and the coverage that that provides.
The replacement of your income, generally 6 to 8 times.
Mm-hmm.
So I always add that degree of seriousness to it. But keep in mind, what it's originally for is to replace your income. And generally, believe it or not, it's going to be more expensive for you to live alone than it is with your spouse.
But on the other side of that as well, features can also include providing needed cash to policyholders, perhaps in their 60s, enabling them to wait for Social Security until age 70. Which is, you know, at the end of the 8% increases per year. So indeed, this year's Insurance Barometer study reveals that 36% of millennials and 31% of Gen Z cite supplementing retirement income as a major reason for having life insurance. Those are higher numbers than those for replacing lost income after an insured individual's death.
Isn't that interesting? So they're looking to, I think that's interesting because that they're being told in essence or advised that this tax-free income in essence that they could draw at or near retirement to possibly supplement income is an important part of this policy.
Yeah. So understanding the different types of life insurance, of course, is a key. So term life policies pay a death benefit during a set time period. Whereas permanent life policies are designed to last for the buyer's lifetime if the required premiums are paid. They are known as cash value policies because they usually contain an investment account that may grow in some manner. Often, cash value policies require much higher premiums than term life policies, but some of the higher premiums are retained in the cash value where the buildup might be useful. So according to that Insurance Barometer study, among insured Gen Z and millennials, more than 6 out of 10 own permanent life insurance. And as mentioned, one major reason for owning cash value life insurance is the possibility of using that asset to supplement retirement income.
So another part of this then would simply be to keep in mind if you are at this point, where you're looking to either draw income from Social Security or from other sources, if you have cash value life insurance, it could be a supplement for you as well as other assets.
Yeah, and a primary reason for waiting, honestly, is that Social Security increase. So let's take a look at a quick example. So Saul, who was born in 1962, will reach full retirement age at 67. Saul's projected primary insurance amount, which is the amount he will receive from Social Security by claiming then, is $2,000 per month. Saul can claim as early as age 62, which he will reach in 2024. However, such a claim would reduce his monthly benefit by 30% to $1,400 a month. On the other hand, Saul's Social Security retirement benefit would increase to his PIA plus 24% to $2,480 per month by delaying Social Security until age 70. So going from the earliest, age 62, to the latest, age 70, start date, increases Saul's benefit by more than 77%, guaranteed by the federal government, regardless of how financial markets perform in those 8 years. We have seen two market crashes in this century. The actual payments to Saul probably would be even larger due to any COLA adjustments. So the larger Saul's basic benefit, the more dollars he would also get from each COLA.
Now, what's interesting, mentioning COLA, there was just an article, I think, in the Wall Street Journal last night or this morning. Anticipated COLA is in the range this year of about 3.2% for current Social Security recipients. About 3.2. We'll see.
Yeah. Even circling back to taxes, which Dennis was, of course, talking about earlier. Beyond the larger payout, waiting until age 70 offers multiple advantages. Social Security benefits get favorable tax treatment as no one pays full federal income tax on the money received.
The maximum tax is 85% on Social Security tax.
Mm-hmm. Most states do not tax Social Security income. Payouts last as long as the beneficiary lives, so there will be less concern, of course, about running short of money over an extremely long retirement. Moreover, if Saul predeceases his wife, Vicky, she will continue to receive Saul's max monthly check as the higher payout continues to a surviving spouse.
Assuming, again, that he has the higher payout. Now, that's another reason to consider holding off on Social Security benefits, which we've talked about. If your spouse is going to collect on your benefit, that can be a significant plus in terms of your overall financial well-being, given that you predecease he or she. Okay?
Yeah. Of course, waiting for Social Security until age 70 is a lot easier said than done for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Income might drop if people in their 60s work less or retire altogether. And abstaining from Social Security for 8 years may be difficult, especially with the daily cost of living rising, as has been the case in recent years. Another thing to keep in mind that Dennis mentioned, too, is just because you delay at 62 does not mean you have to automatically wait till age 70. You, of course, can claim at any time.
Anytime. That's right. So if things change... And I've had that question. It's amazing. Many people believe incorrectly, well, don't I have to, if I don't collect at 62, don't I have to wait until my full retirement age to collect? Any month you want to, you can begin receiving benefits, as long as you apply to the Social Security Administration for that benefit and you qualify and, you know, provide them the information that they need to get that going.
Correct. And it may not even be a bad strategy to draw from your IRAs, considering how low tax rates are historically right now as well.
You bet. So given the overall tax rate, that's another thing to consider. The life insurance may not be the best place to draw because you need to pay. I would like to pay the tax on the income from my IRA versus letting it grow in essence tax-free within my life insurance policy.
So really, that's right. And a couple more uniques about life insurance. So the cash value accumulation. So any growth in the cash value savings account won't be subject to income tax as long as the money remains inside the policy. Withdrawals from the policy. Assuming the policy qualifies as bona fide life insurance, considering the premium payments and the death benefit, premiums can be withdrawn on a first-in, first-out basis. So in that scenario, there will be no tax due on amounts up to the premiums paid. Above that amount, withdrawals will be taxable. But loans is really where you would take advantage of this strategy. So regardless of any or all withdrawals, policyholders may borrow against their cash value. Interest will be charged and accumulated, but repayments may not be required. Any outstanding balance will be repaid from the eventual death benefit.
So in essence, if you, I don't know, say you had $1 million policy and you had a loan of $100,000, if you pass away, then your spouse is going to get $900,000. $1 million minus the $100,000 loan that you'd previously taken on the policy.
Yep. And as is the case with any loan, the borrowed funds will not be taxable income. Again, of course, the policy must continue to meet tests for true life insurance.
So while these life insurance policies aren't necessarily exciting and edgy, they can certainly help with retirement income and or other needs, because the amounts that you can draw in almost every case are tax-free. And, of course, then the death benefit. And this is what Ed Slott is always talking about. The death benefit from these policies are fully tax-free unless your estate is worth, let's say your merit is worth over about $25, $26 million. Then you might be subject to estate tax. But most people are going to fly under that radar.
Yeah. And again, even if you don't bridge the gap all the way till age 70, making it at least till full retirement age is 90 to 95% of the time definitely worth it for your Social Security strategy.
Absolutely, because many of us live much longer than we intended when we're initially estimating these things.
I'm amazed at what you started with, how many, the percentage of Gen Z and millennials who have life insurance or even have it for that reason to fill in. I mean,
yeah, that's incredible to me, too, honestly.
Well, and even though permanent life insurance is more expensive, it is cheaper when you're younger and healthy, too.
Right. It's not cheap by any means. But think about the benefits as well, of course. When you're thinking about retirement income and or covering those things that we don't want to think about, like the family and all the rest, if you're not here, okay? And Deanne's got the stats regarding life insurance and retirement stats as well.
Absolutely. So according to an article entitled Life Insurance Statistics, Data Industry Trends for 2023 by Chauncey Creo, according to results from a Forbes Advisor survey on life insurance, at least 3 in 4 American adults have some form of life insurance. Fewer than half of people without life insurance surveyed in the study say they feel financially secure. The same survey found that 68% of life insurance owners say they do feel financially secure. 8 out of 10 consumers overestimate the expense of getting a life insurance policy, according to a study by LIMRA and Life Happens. I thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't even look into it probably because they think it's going to be too expensive. 44% of American households would encounter significant financial difficulties within half a year if they lost the primary wage earner in the family, and 28% would reach this point in only a month. And that is all about life insurance. The next article entitled 52 Retirement Statistics for 2023, Facts You Should Know, and these are all retirement facts by Christian Simmons. According to the American Society of Pension Professionals and Actuaries, the average retirement account balance for an IRA was $135,600 in 2021. 55% of Americans say they're behind on retirement savings. A 65-year-old retiring this year may anticipate spending an average of $157,500 on health care over their lifetime. Nearly 50% of American workers do not have an available retirement plan. Over $1 trillion in Social Security benefits will be distributed in 2023.
Isn't that a huge number?
$1 trillion.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. And it probably will get bigger, right?
Yeah.
Baby boomers.
The baby boomers
going
in. I think the last baby boomer born in 64, 65, somewhere in there.
Yeah. World Health Organization research estimates 80% of senior citizens will reside in low and middle income areas by 2050. And the last stat, on average, retirees reported that nearly 1/3 of their monthly income goes towards housing expenses. 1/3.
Isn't that interesting? I thought that was interesting. About 1/3 of their monthly income goes toward housing expenses. The average retiree nationwide has an income, according to reports, we were looking at that this morning, between $4,000 and $6,000 per month. So housing expenses still in the range of $1,500 or so per month, given repairs and all the rest, most likely.
And I think there's a trend of retirees downsizing, right? Selling their house and buying a smaller house, so it's a little more affordable. But in this market, I'm not sure how true that is.
Yeah, given the liquidity out there, we're talking to more clients who are saying, I couldn't resist given the dollars that were available if I were going to sell my home. That was a conversation yesterday. Mm. So we bailed on that particular residence and moved. Mm-hmm. It was just too good.
But everybody's real estate's gone up. That's the question always. I could sell, but then where will I buy?
Exactly. Yeah. So the transition price may be that significant as well, too. Mm. There are so many things to think about in terms of this, just pointing up the need for consultants. And, my gosh, we're getting a lot of phone calls at the office, too. We certainly appreciate that. Lots of folks calling in for meetings and appointments. And some we haven't heard from before, so that's fantastic. We appreciate that. How much time do we have here, Ron?
We have about 2 minutes.
Excellent. So we've got a little information here, and also we mentioned previously about the 800-pound debt gorilla, as this points up. There is a interesting note here. According to a new paper by IMF economist Serkan Arslanalp, I'm not sure how to say that.
It's close.
Perfect. And economist Professor Barry Eichengreen at the University of California, Berkeley, argue that the combination of polarized politics, slowing secular global growth, and increased federal spending suggest that soaring debt levels are here to stay. Their paper was presented, now this isn't something that's out there, was presented at the Fed's late August economic symposium at Jackson Hole, which we all heard about. Oh, they're at Jackson Hole. Now, where is that after all? They point out that the global advanced economy economic debt has risen from 50 to 85% of gross domestic product of our total goods and services produced by our economy. Mm. While in the United States, federal government debt held by the public totals more than 95% of gross domestic product and will continue to rise further according to the OMB. They're talking about reasons why debt levels are likely not to decline soon. And it's just significant given the interest cost alone.
Yep. That's going to wrap it up for another edition of New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design. Thank you, Dennis Prout, Nathan Prout, and Deanne Jennings.
Appreciate it, Ron. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
947-3992 for Prout Financial Design, 231 area code.